I speak to you in the name of the God of the great wedding feast. Amen. There's only one moment in my childhood. It happened so quickly and then was over. But just telling you about it returns me back to that sunny afternoon in Miami when I was 8 years old. On that day, my father found me at our neighbor's house and invited me to go with him to the movies. Just me. I was one of five children. He asked if I wanted to see the movie Stars and Stripes Forever, the story of John Philip Sousa, the great band leader and composer. My father knew that I lived and breathed music. He would proudly ask me to play the piano for guests at our house, and I realized many years later that for one brief sunny moment, my father had put aside all his parish duties to seek me out and invite me to feast on his love and presence. But that glittering afternoon remains clouded in my memory because I turned down the invitation. Our neighbors had just bought a new thing, a television, which we didn't have. And I wanted to watch what looked like a wonderful show on the television. So I said no to my father's invitation. I was heartsick to discover quickly that the wonderful show was merely a commercial. But by the time I went to look for my father, he was back at church, caught up in other business, and we never went to see the movie or hear the music. I had a happy childhood, and I am attached to mostly blessed memories of growing up, but I've never forgotten that day when I turned down the invitation. Never forgotten. I think Kurt Vonnegut might have been right when he said one should always say yes to any invitation to go anywhere. And when I listen to Matthew's story of the marriage feast, I feel about 8 years old again. All through the Bible, grace and hope are spread like a banquet. The people are fed in the desert with unexpected manna. We heard those readings few weeks ago. David and his soldiers found bread in the sanctuary when they were hungry. And one day Isaiah looked up and saw the mountain steaming with enough food for all people. So naturally, Jesus thought about God in terms of a feast. And he told stories about banquets to open the curtain on the reign of God. Great stories filled with villains and heroes, leaving us to place ourselves somewhere in the tale. Depending on who you are, this parable from Matthew is a great story. Of course, for this lingering 8-year-old, it still makes me shudder. I forgot to tell you what makes my refusal to go with my father so painful is that I don't remember ever hearing another such personal special offer, just him and me. So I pray that in the banquet hall of God's grace, there will be place for the little ones. For the past few weeks, we have listened to Matthew staking out the boundaries. For some reason, he needs to tell stories about those who get in and those who don't get in, those who get a better hourly wage than others, those who go to work even when they don't want to go to work. I suppose there was something about Matthew's church that required these stories. Amazing things happen when the invitation goes out to the streets and invites everyone to the banquet. In 1787, Absalom Jones and Richard Allen, two young African-American men, were attending St. George's Methodist Church in Philadelphia. They were inspired by their faith in Christ to go out to the streets of Philadelphia and invite other people of color to come to the marriage feast, to come to worship, to rejoin the saints at the table of the Lord. They were really successful messengers. And the people came and they came and they came. Until one November Sunday in 1787, when Absalom Jones and Richard Allen and their friends knelt to pray, with no warning, the leaders of St. George's Church told Absalom Jones and Richard Allen and all the other black guests at the wedding banquet that they had to go upstairs and sit in the gallery. They were obviously second-class wedding guests. So they left the church, and the banquet was not as it should have been. And they formed their own society, and St. Thomas African Church in Philadelphia still stands as a sign of the great banquet. When you throw open the doors of the banquet, everything changes. It becomes a blessed community of all sorts and conditions of people. Sadly, boundaries have always been put up around the feast, and we've done our best to keep them out of the marriage banquet. But you know, in the end, the boundaries will fail. When I was dean of St. Paul's Cathedral in Buffalo, we always had unexpected guests at our banquet. Every year in early September, we turned the Cathedral Park Plaza, right next to the cathedral, into a great picnic ground. We would leave the beautiful marble and brass and stained glass interior of the cathedral, walking through the fragrant incense to enter the fragrant smoke of charcoal grills and the unmistakable aroma of hamburgers and hot dogs. In all our diversity, we filled the plaza and enjoyed the bounty of good food and drink. But sometimes we noticed that the picnic plaza was filled not only with regulars, but with guests. One year, we were winding down our picnic when Red strolled up. Red was usually drunk. When he was not drunk, he was in the county holding center, 2 blocks from the cathedral, or sometimes in detox somewhere. Sometimes Red would storm around the cathedral, churning with despair and anger, until he would wander out onto the street again. Sometimes we had to call the police. Red was the last person you'd invite to your picnic. But in the still air of downtown Buffalo, on that Sunday morning, when we were the son of life there, Red walked up and asked, "Who are these for?" "They're for you, Red. Enjoy them." On this mountain, even on this plaza, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of rich food, even grilled hamburgers, and the disgrace of the people he will take away from all the earth. Isaiah got it right. Red never did pull his life together. We wouldn't see him for long periods. For other periods, he was sober or taking his medicine, and then the demons would come back. He finally died on an icy morning in a loading dock, heating sausages over an alcohol fire with other homeless men. He fell into the fire and burned to death. But for one morning on the Lord's day, the Lord's glory encompassed Red, and our banquet was filled with special grace. On the outside of the cathedral, high up on the tall steeple, it was a very tall steeple, where it could be seen by all the city, we hung a banner that read, "A place at the table for all forever." A place at the table for all forever. And in a city that still reeked of racism and discrimination, urgent tribalism, where a sign appeared in a window one day that said, "Arab until proven innocent," we opened the doors of St. Paul's Cathedral to all people, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Native American, disabled, homeless, gay, lesbian, transgendered, Republican, Democrat. The marriage feast was open to all. I don't know what to do with Matthew's harsh judgments. I know that hospitality needs boundaries sometimes, But I am sure that God means for the feast to extend to all people. I can't let you leave this place feeling sorry for that 8-year-old forever looking for another invitation. So let me assure you that my father and I enjoyed many moments in the sun. We more than made up for the declined invitation. He blessed me on my way to music school and came to my ordination as a priest in the chapel of the Shota House. And I suspect there were many other invitations over the years if I had listened for them. This morning, we're going to baptize Noah Alexander Lucas Oswandell. He's a small boy with a big name, and everybody pampers him right now. But we are going to bring him to the water and pour water over him and pray that God will bless him and nurture him and hold him close. In the ancient church, when men and women were baptized, they were lifted out of the baptismal pool and clothed with a gown of white. The white robes that I wear are a residue, sort of a vestige, of the great baptismal garments that all Christians wore. It takes no great imagination to believe that Noah will be clothed with such a garment. And we know that it is his wedding garment, and that there will always be a place at the table for Noah. Sure, the harshness of Matthew's judgment is tempered by the insistence of the king's invitation. In this story, there are winners and losers. Some are in by the fire, some are out in the cold, some unexpectedly at the table, and others killed and their homes destroyed. It's not a story for the faint of heart. But the banquet goes on, and it is a banquet for the world. So let the feast begin. Here in Temple Terrace at St. Catherine's Church, with you and me and all who have been invited. But if you see somebody near you without a wedding robe, lend him yours. If we could hand a hamburger to Red and be blessed, surely a few wedding garments should cover the whole world. Amen.